Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
What's the key to a quick and fun travel escape? Enjoy public art outside, or outsider art inside, and refresh your sense of history with awe-inspiring parks and museums. Vicksburg is the key to the South.
You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
This is Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm. Or wherever it is that you get podcasts from, we appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville, or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Reaganton.
Reaganton?
Reaganton.
That would be really weird.
Yeah. Yeah. So,
I have nothing.
Yeah. Okay, then. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's just a click away at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. Pip Printing and Signs, reliable service for every business need. That's their slogan. What it means is this: whatever the message of your business is, Pip Printing and Signs can help you relay that message to your customers, can help them help you bring customers in the door and help you keep them coming in the door. Whatever your business is, printing plays a huge role in it. Why not work with the best? And that's Pip Printing and Signs. 30 years here in the state of Mississippi, working with businesses just like yours. Call Cam Baker today. Tell him you heard about it on Thunder and Lightning. 601-499-5216. Tell him you want to find out what Pip Printing and Signs can do for you. When you need printing, call Pip today. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for. And guys, you certainly are looking for it. You need new gear, you find it at College Corner. They've got a great selection. And it's not just clothes. It's stuff for your car, for your house, for your tailgate, everything maroon and white right there at College Corner. Two locations in the Jackson area, Ridgeland by Fleet Feet, Flowood by the Half Shell, or you can shop online, collegecornerstore.com. Restaurant Tyler, Starkville's flagship restaurant for lunch, dinner, or Sunday brunch, the best meal in town, is at Restaurant Tyler. It's just the best place to go. If you want to grab a great lunch, if you want to have a fancy dinner, if you want to enjoy Sunday brunch after church, there's just no better place in town to do it than at Restaurant Tyler. And so when you can get all three of those meals under one roof, it makes it easy to know where to go. This weekend, any weekend you're going to be in Starkville, make sure a trip to Restaurant Tyler is on your to-do list. Priority One Bank, 16 locations throughout Central Mississippi here to serve you. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide and show you what it is to really get service from your bank. Let them show you how they're going to help you invest and manage your money and prepare for the future. Nowadays, when you have questions about your money, you want to be able to make a quick phone call and get a quick answer. Nobody has time to be on hold for 45 minutes. Nobody has time to talk to an operator who doesn't know anything about them. Priority One Bank gives you that opportunity to deal with a real person and get real service from someone that you know. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Excuse me. Had a little
You're excused.
A little phlegm there.
Gross.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, again, and we've talked about this before, better to get it and cough and just get it out of the way than to do that thing where you can hear it in the back of someone's throat for 30 minutes. Nobody wants that.
Nobody. Yeah. Not a single person wants that.
No one. So, well, later in the show, we'll talk a little Georgia Bulldogs
with our friend Jordan Hill.
From Dogs 24/7. He's been on the podcast many times before, probably too many times, because Mississippi State has played Georgia too many times in the last 5 or 6 years. I'm kind of tired of playing Georgia, but it is what it is. We'll talk to him later. But I thought we'd talk, you know, sometimes, you know, those Law and Order shows, they, you know, it's taken from real life headlines, right? So I thought we'd do that today from the On3 message board, taken from real life posts. And there's a post on the board today about the timeline of Jeff Lebby and how long, you know, do you give a new coach? The circumstances here at Mississippi State are a little different than they are at other places. You know, if State was coming off, you know, when State was coming off of Mullen And after 2 years of Morehead, it was obvious that he didn't have the grip on the program that he needed to have. You could make that move, and it wasn't that big a deal. But now when you've had three head coaches, and look, you can't control the fact that Mike Leach passed away. But at the end of the day, Jeff Lebby is this program's fifth head coach in 8 years at a job that most people would tell you is one of the toughest in college football. So, you know, having a short leash in that situation might not be viewed the best through the lens of potential coaches. And we talked a little bit earlier this week when we talked about Jaheim Otis and we talked about Mario Nash and the vicious circle that exists right now. You need recruits to win. You need to win to get recruits. Lebby doesn't have anything to show right now. Lebby can't show anything until he gets recruit. And so it's just this odd situation. So it got me to thinking about, you know, what Jeff Lebby's real time frame here is at Mississippi State. And, you know, what does he have to do and what does year two need to look like for Jeff Lebby? I go back to something he said to us, Robbie, at Media Days, where he said, you know, I want Mississippi State fans to think to know they've got the right guy here. Not going to have that opportunity at the end of the season unless something unusual happens. You know, they've got, what, seven games remaining. If they were to win four of them, then, yeah, everybody would probably be on board and be like, all right, yeah, we're fine. This program's going in the right direction. So for you, you know, what is a realistic time frame for Jeff Lebby, and what does year two need to look like for him for that time frame to be comfortable for Mississippi State fans? Tough question.
The timeline, I think, is probably 3 years.
Right.
I don't see – I mean, there's a chance that, you know, next year you will know whether or not he's going to be capable of moving this thing forward. If they come out and they look incompetent next year, they're not making any progress, then 2 years might be a good time frame to know whether or not he could do that. But – knowing what Mississippi State has in front of them as far as, you know, rebuilding and things like that, as far as getting back to, you know, where you want to be, where you're competing in this league week in and week out, where you are winning ball games, getting upsets against teams that, you know, this year you wouldn't be able to do that. I think year three is a good barometer for that. You're going to have your recruiting class from this year is going to be in year two. And then you'll have some pieces in next year's recruiting class that's going to be coming in to add to that. Plus, you'll have a better product to sell, because I just don't know if this year is going to be possible to sell what you're wanting to sell from an offensive and defensive standpoint. You don't have a lot of the pieces in place that you want. You got coaches that are getting used to each other, players that are getting used to the coaches. This year is kind of a wash in every sense of the way. The product on the field, the, you know, some of the recruiting, development, it's all kind of a wash right now. As far as, you know, what you were talking about, like, you know, what can you kind of take away from this year or whatever? Like, I think that you need to be showing progress in recruiting. You need to be able to pull in some talent that, you know, it will excite the fan base, will excite people that you're in that you're trying to entice to come to Mississippi State. You need to be able to recruit, and you need to be able to show this year that you got a good, solid foundation with the program. You know, you're fighting hard on Saturdays, you're playing hard, you're in position to make plays on both sides of the ball, you're putting up a fight each and every week. You don't have a whole lot of just disjointed issues within the locker room, things like that. I think that's kind of where I am with it all.
So this is like my response has tiers to it, I guess, is what I would say. It's like, I agree that Mississippi State needs some continuity, and the bare minimum they should be willing to hold on to Jeff Lebby is 3 years. At the same time, if Jeff Lebby's year two looks like year one, that's a very difficult, bitter pill to swallow, and I don't necessarily know that you can do it.
They may try,
but I don't know that you magically get better in year three if you've been bad in year one and year two. And just to use an example, somebody who was really bad year one, year two, I don't think Chad Morris was going to turn in year three and that Arkansas program was going to be humming. And, I mean, sometimes you're just a bad coach. One thing I disagree with you with is that I feel like I'm going to have a much better idea of what Jeff Lebby is and what kind of coach he's going to be when we get into spring practice of this year. Because if he hasn't added to the roster in a significant way, I mean, if this team looks just kind of similar to the way it looks now, and you're talking about, you know, the top of the depth chart is still Bingley Jones and Trevion Williams and those guys.
Hold on.
Uh-oh.
What are you disagreeing with?
You said you would feel like you would know more. You felt like you would have a much better feel going out of the 2025 season. Isn't that what you said?
No, I said next year we should know whether or not this is going to work.
So do you mean that?
And one of the points that I made was recruiting better players.
Right. I thought you meant like the end of next season.
No.
Okay.
Next year we will know. I feel like we will know.
Like we're going to know a good bit on New Year's Day, because at that point your signing class is in, and you're going to at least have gotten some of the transfer portal work done at that point. I think the portal ends like a week after that. So they've got to flip this roster. Everything that I've been told says that the NIL funds are in place, and I'm willing to buy the idea that in a coaching change, it's difficult to work the portal, because so much of that, I mean, look, is it illegal? Yeah, it absolutely is against the rules. But everybody's doing it, so I don't give a crap. But you have to be, you know, the pieces are in place for portal recruiting. They're starting to be in place now. You know, some people are already, you're seeing people going to the portal now, but people are reaching out to players who across the country and be like, look, if it's not working out for you here, you got a spot here if you're interested, and so on and so forth. That's difficult to do when you have a coaching change. You know, once Arnett was out in November of last year, who's doing that recruiting? You don't even know who the head coach is going to be. So I'm willing to do that. And I feel like sometimes people get lost in the idea that I feel like there's a difference between reasons and excuses. Sometimes something can't be done, and there's a reason for it. In this instance, I would say that Jeff Lebby coming in at the end of the season, you can't put together a quality, solid portal class in a month. I think he did pretty good getting the guys he got in. Now, some of those evaluations have been off, but he got guys that, you know, had played Power 5 football on offense. Defensively, no. They missed out on that, and that's part of the reason that they're in the state that they're in right this second. That's a reason that this team is not as good as it could be. An excuse will be in year two or three saying it's still a problem and that it's, you know, oh, it just takes time. No, at that point, it's an excuse. Nowadays, it does not take three seasons to flip a college football team. And again, I don't think Mississippi State fans, by and large, we're not talking about Mississippi State in 2025 being a national championship contender, being in the playoff picture. They're just talking about, can you win six games and go to a bowl game? If that's too much to ask of Jeff Lebby and staff in year two, then you have the wrong guy in place. So they've got to take big steps forward at, you know, the day after the Egg Bowl to the start of spring practice. There needs to be a lot of change here in Starkville. I think there's got to be some change on the coaching staff. I think there's obviously got to be a lot of change on the roster. And then you can go into the spring and say, okay, now they're going to start figuring some things out. And then you go into next season, you get, you know, four games that you play in the non-conference that you should be able to win. You should be able to beat Arizona State at home. If you can't, then that's a huge, huge red flag for me. At that point, I'm going to be like, all right, this probably isn't going to work. And then you have like Southern Miss on the road next year. Yeah, there's no losing that game. There's no coming back from a loss in that game. So you win those four. You get Ole Miss in a rebuild year. We'll see what happens with them. You've got to play Georgia and Texas at home and Tennessee at home. Those are going to be very tough games. Arkansas, A&M, possibly winnable. Missouri, possibly winnable in 2025. So we'll see. I've been seeing it's not a lot, but there's a little whiff, little undercurrent of, well, if they do this, then maybe Hutzler and that group can come back. I don't see a path forward for that. unless there's a monster turnaround. I mean, it would have to be dramatic in the way that they're playing, with the way they've played defense these first five games to the final seven games. I don't see a path back for Hutzler.
I think he's probably going to get another year myself.
Really?
Yeah, I just think there's too many variables there, and I think they're going to give him another year. I understand the people that, and I was kind of there too, but I'm kind of at the point now, like, I think they need continuity. I think they need people to stay in place and have some familiarity, and they definitely need an overhaul in talent. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's been some issues, of course, with the scheme, and I'm not going to make excuses for Hutzler, but there's only so much that even Nick Saban could do with the talent that Mississippi State has, or the lack of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I think there's some things that you could definitely do positionally there. I don't know what they're going to do, but I just have a feeling they're probably going to keep Hutzler. What for me, next year, success, we talked about what success looked like this year. Like, the offense is exciting. They're, you know, maybe they spring an upset against someone. Obviously, a lot of that has changed now that we've seen this team. And, like, success now is just, like, are they going to play hard? Are they going to be in ball games against really good teams? And maybe can they spring an upset? Could they get to 3 or 4 wins, whatever? That's kind of success and how it's shifted now. For next year, I think success is you need to be bowl eligible. You need to be in the ball game against some of these teams. It needs to be like what we thought this year was going to be. And maybe even better. You need to be able to say, like, after a bunch of games, boy, this is going to be hell on wheels in a couple of years. You know, teams are looking at Mississippi State and saying, I do not want to see them in a couple of years or next year or whatever. That's what you want Mississippi State to look like. You want to be clearly moving very fast forward. And if you're not doing that, then there's some issues.
I feel like I have to use a term I absolutely despise with this season, but the year zero thing. I hate year zero. I hate the idea that, like, you know, this is year one, and you know, the wins and losses count the same. Your job, you get paid $4 million a year to win games. I'm not really big on the idea of year zero, but at the same time, what you're saying is accurate. The team I thought I was going to see this year, I have to see them next year, or I can't. Yeah. I can't consider thinking that year three is going to be any different. I can't see a situation where you go from, let's say, 2 wins this year, 3 wins next year, to 8 wins in 2026. Even though the schedule does drop down a little bit and it gets a little bit easier in 2026, I can't get behind that line of thinking. I'm interested that you think that Hutzler might get. Do you think it's just a situation where Lebby says this defense, sort of what you just said, that I could have Nick Saban, Kirby Smart, Mark Stoops, and all of that, all of those guys coaching this defense, and they just don't have the talent, so I got to give him a year to at least see if he can bring some guys in? I don't necessarily agree with that, because I think that there have been some schematic issues for sure, some coaching issues that could have been corrected, but
this is the problem.
See that happening.
This is what you get when you hire a first-time defense coordinator. You got a guy that's trying to figure things out, and that was a mistake probably by Jeff Lebby to make that hire. But now that you've done it, if you're going to keep him, you've got to give him the best resources you possibly can to make him successful. You got to let him figure it out, whatever. But either you do that or you go get somebody else.
Yeah.
But there's no in between. You do everything in your power to give him the resources that he needs to be successful, or you go get somebody else. Like I said, there's no in between.
And you lean so that they'll give him another year, right?
I think that's what's going to happen. This is a guy that is one of, you know, Jeff Lebby's buddies, mm-hmm. first and foremost. And I think, you know, that's, we've seen time and time again, you know, Dan Mullen kept all his guys on board with him on the offensive side of the ball.
Mm-hmm.
Coaches tend to have leeway on guys that are they consider their friends. It's tougher to get rid of those guys. So that's kind of where I lean with this. I think that's what's going to happen, and I could be totally wrong on it, but I think he's probably going to get another year, and they're going to do everything they can to try to go out there and get players, and they're going to have to spend a lot of money to do it.
Yeah, there's no getting around that fact that the it's going to be an eight-figure number for Mississippi State to rebuild this roster correctly. I'm very interested. I feel like defensively, I just don't see improvement coming. I mean, everybody says, oh, they played so much better against Texas. They still gave up 500 plus yards and 35 points, and you know, they played better, but you know, that's like saying you're skinnier than me. You can still be fat. I mean, it doesn't mean.
Well, I mean, what actually like, skinny. Yeah, but from a production standpoint, like. What could they do at this point that's going to be impressive?
But that, like, well, they after they get past this game, they could be better. A&M has been okay offensively. They were really good against Missouri, but they haven't been just unstoppable. Arkansas, the same way. Missouri has not been great offensively this year. Tennessee is not – I mean, Tennessee – Arkansas is able to slow them down. Yeah,
but Arkansas has some defensive linemen.
I don't.
State does not.
So I'm not. I'm not asking you to hold them to 19 or to 14 points. But could I ask you to hold them to 28 points? Can I get that? I don't know. You know, if you lose those games 45-10, and then I don't. And then that's another part to this is that, and I feel like we keep overlooking, but like we thought the defense was going to be maybe not this bad, but bad. State offensively has not been what we expected. In year one under Jeff Lebby. So there's a lot of pressure on him too. And to figure out what, you know, how that offense is going to turn around. I'll just say that I'm not a fan of the idea of just blindly giving Lebby. I can't sit here today and say, oh yeah, he gets year three. No matter what. I can't get behind that. There has to be some nuance to that discussion in both directions, right? There has to be. You know, if he starts turning things around a little bit this year, and they finish with four wins or something, five wins, then I'm not worried about year two, and I understand. I think it'll continue to improve. If you go 2-10 this year, next year you need to be in a bowl game. You need to be 6-6. That's not asking that much of your program to just go 6-6 and go to a low tier bowl. That would be enough in that instance. Back to back 2-3 win seasons. Who's coming to the games at that point? You know, who at that point only the absolute most die in the wool maroon diehard is left. So I don't know.
We'll be there, unfortunately.
We will be there. I promise you that. So all right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at the Mississippi Beef Council, who want to remind you that beef, it is what's for dinner. If you're cooking out this weekend, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. But if you're not cooking out, hey, first off, I don't blame you. But two, go check out one of our great steakhouses across the state of Mississippi. They are dotted all over the map. These little towns that I bring up for our Strange Brew ad, I promise you, you're not too far from a great steak in any of those towns as well. So get in the car, fire up the GPS, and go find you a great steak this weekend. Beef, it's what's for dinner, thanks to our friends at the Mississippi Beef Council. Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for, and I know that you're out there looking for it. Two of the best restaurants in town, right there next to each other, Two Brothers Smoked Meats, and of course, the older brother, the home of the fancy sandwich. So when you're in the Cotton District and you're thinking, man, I could go for something to eat, you don't need to leave the Cotton District. It's right there. Just head over to Two Brothers Smoked Meats or to the older brother. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing that now for 50 years. 50. Whatever technology you need for your business, so you need a new copier, a new printer, new computers, they've got them at Advantage Business Systems. The best name brands, great prices. But where they stand out is that service after the sale. If something goes wrong and you need a repair, it's not a 1-800 number. It's not on hold for 45 minutes. It's not an out-of-state technician who will be there in a week to 10 days. It's the same number you called to talk to those guys when you bought the product. And it's going to be usually 24 hours or so. Because they're in the state of Mississippi just like you. They make it easy to help you out. They understand what service after the sale really means. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online at absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems helps your business do business. Before you go to the game this fall, make sure you're making a trip to Maroon & Co. and checking out their incredible selection of Mississippi State gear, stuff you cannot get anywhere else. It really is a unique line of MSU polos, pullovers, T-shirts, and hats, stuff that's just not on the shelf anywhere else you shop for it. Plus, if you want to wear the stuff the coaches are wearing, the Bulldog Initiative gear, it's only available for you at Maroon & Co. Use our promo code THUNDER15, 15% off regular price items. Some exclusions do apply. Before you go to any Mississippi State game in Starkville, make sure you make a trip to Maroon & Co. Let's talk a little bit more about this weekend's opponent, the Georgia Bulldogs. An interesting team. I don't know that we've seen the best of Georgia this year. I think they're much better than what they've shown us this year. So that's a little bit of a scary proposition for Mississippi State, because you might see it this weekend, but I don't know. So let's get a little more insight into those other Bulldogs with our friend Jordan Hill from Dogs 24/7. Let's talk about this weekend's game between the hedges, between the Bulldogs and the Bulldogs. We'll talk with our good friend Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7. He's been on the podcast many times before. And Jordan, when we do these interviews, I do these opponent previews, you know, normally I would come in with the idea that, okay, even a game like this where State's, you know, outmanned and outgunned, you know, there's a path where something can happen. And I don't have that feeling this year for Mississippi State at all. With Georgia, I think they may have played their best game of the season against Clemson, and they haven't really gotten back to that since. Have we seen the best version of Georgia at any time this year?
I don't think so. No, I do think that they took strides in that game last week against Auburn. I mean, mainly because the offense went down and scored on its first drive, and that's something they didn't even do against Clemson. I mean, the Auburn game was the first time they have scored any points at all. You know, they scored a touchdown, but even if it would have been a field goal in the first quarter against FBS competition. So that tells you how slow they've started games this year. But now, I thought that Auburn game, you showed strides in being able to consistently move the ball. There were some missed opportunities, but offense looked better. Trevor Etienne, I thought, had his best complete game as a Georgia Bulldog, running the ball, catching the ball out of the backfield. Defense, I thought, took strides. Was a little surprised they weren't able to force any turnovers against a very turnover-prone Auburn team, but, you know, held up, won by 18. I thought that game was a good encapsulation of both sides making strides. Clemson game to start the year was probably their most impressive win still, but offense took a little while to start clicking. So I thought that Auburn game was a step in the right direction, and we'll see if they can follow it up on Saturday.
I don't think Mississippi State can tell themselves, yeah, we'll just do what Alabama did and try to win the game that way. I don't think that works for them. But I think they could say, well, let's take something from what Kentucky did to Georgia, and maybe they can play that way. In your opinion, what did Kentucky do in that game against Georgia that made it so close?
I think the big thing is that they really did a good job with time of possession. And a big part of that was that Kentucky defense had an outstanding game. They did a very good job of keeping Georgia on its toes, of not really allowing Georgia to have extended drives. And again, going back to Trevor Etienne, he was a big reason Georgia won that Kentucky game. Their only touchdown drive, he was really the driving force of getting them downfield. So I think a lot of credit is due to Kentucky's defense, especially that front with Deion Walker and some of those other guys. And then on the other side, on the Kentucky offense, you know, I thought Brock Vandergriff's dual threat ability opened up opportunities for Kentucky, and Brock made plays, and they hit a few explosive plays in the passing game. But to me, that Kentucky game was all about that Kentucky defense, because they held and held and held, did a very good job against Georgia. Unfortunately for the Wildcats, all the offense could do was kick four field goals, and you just can't win games like that. If I was looking back on that, and I'm sure Mark Stoops has thought about it, whether he would share it or not, I don't know. But they should have been a little bit more aggressive. There were a few fourth downs that they kicked field goals instead of going for it. You know, I know Georgia is not number one right now, but they're still a championship contender. If a team like Mississippi State is pushing them and trying to get a game to the wire, you're going to have to take your chances on fourth downs. You're going to have to go for six instead of three. You've got to try to hit those shots when they present themselves, because against a team like Georgia, they don't present themselves all that often.
Mississippi State's biggest weakness, in my opinion, is its defensive line. They just don't get a lot of push, both in the run game and in pass rush. How good is this Georgia team on the offensive line? It feels like that's going to be a big mismatch on Saturday.
Well, definitely something to watch from the Georgia perspective in that they've been banged up. Tate Ratledge, the starting right guard, he is still out as he works back from an ankle injury. They've had Micah Morris playing in his place, a guy that's played quite a bit, but has just been making his first few starts as a Bulldog. And then the big question for Georgia going into Saturday is going to be the center position. Jared Wilson was a starter to begin the season. He gets banged up against Alabama, does not play against Auburn. And Drew Bobo, Mike Bobo's son, played and made his first career start in that game against Auburn, which was kind of funny because he was a one-time Auburn commit back when Mike was the Tigers' offensive coordinator. And Drew played really well. We heard from Carson Beck and Kirby Smart and some of Drew's teammates that they thought he did a really good job in his first start. So this offensive line is still in pretty good shape, but there are big question marks. And again, we'll be watching on Saturday and be looking during the week at the availability report if Jared Wilson's able to come back or if Drew Bobo makes his second straight start at the center position.
When I talked about this game in the preseason, my thought was, I had two thoughts. One, that State would be a lot better than they are. That just is what it is. But I also thought that, maybe Georgia will be undefeated and looking ahead to that huge matchup with Texas. That's impossible now because of Georgia losing that game to Alabama. Do you feel like that the team has kind of embraced the idea that, hey, we don't have a lot of losses left to give, maybe only one at most. Are they focused on every game, whereas maybe a few weeks ago they might have been overlooking a team like Mississippi State?
For sure. And I think you kind of got that. I would encourage folks who saw the Georgia Auburn game, if you watched it on TV at the end, the sideline reporter Molly McGrath told Carson Beck that, at the time Vanderbilt's beating Alabama, and you can tell that Carson basically said, "I don't really care." I mean, basically, because they've moved on from the Alabama game and he was focused on Auburn and then turning the attention to this week. I mean, something that Kirby has talked about nonstop is just taking it week by week. And, he was asked, do you use motivation of things that happened like last week with Arkansas beating Tennessee, Vanderbilt beating Alabama? And he said, no, we got to focus on ourselves. We have to, we can't get outside motivation as far as what other teams are doing. So, no, I think they understand the circumstances. I do think, Brian, that you're right. If Georgia was undefeated, that this would be a really obvious look ahead spot where you would say, all right, does Georgia show up in this game and show out? I think the fact they've got that loss, and I think the fact that, this team isn't perfect, that there's still areas they want to work on and areas that other teams can exploit. I think they understand they have to show up. I think it helps that it's at home, and that they want to give the crowd something to get fired up about and try to take advantage before they have to make that trip to Austin.
Speaking of the crowd, Kirby Smart had some pointed comments about the crowd last weekend at the Auburn game. Are you starting to feel a little restlessness from Georgia fans this season? Like I said earlier, I don't know that they've played their best football yet. They have that loss to Auburn. They struggled with Kentucky. Are UGA fans, I mean, I hate to say spoiled, man, but gosh dog, they've won two national titles in the last the 4 seasons. What's the mood around this Georgia football program, I guess, is the question I'll ask.
Well, I think it's comparable to some of the stuff Nick Saban and Alabama ran into in the 2010s. And I can think about Nick calling out Alabama fans for, either leaving at halftime or not being loud enough. And, watching the game back for a story I did this week, I think Kirby really got the most upset because the loudest Sanford Stadium got on Saturday was right before a Georgia 4th and 1. They were going for it. And the big screen showed Vanderbilt scoring on Alabama, and it erupted like it really hadn't all game. And Kirby's jumping up and down trying to get everybody to be quiet because they need to be able to hear the snap count and try to make this 4th down, try to convert. I think it's a situation with some of the stuff we've talked about, Brian. I mean, I think the offense has been hit and miss at times. There hasn't been a ton of explosive plays. They kind of have to methodically work their way downfield. A lot of Carson Beck's throws are between are within 15 yards or so. He's not taking a lot of deep shots. So I think that's part of it. Looking at that Auburn game specifically, To defend the fans, it was unseasonably hot. I mean, we were kind of surprised by how warm it was. So I think that took some of the juice out of them. And I think, too, that there's some of the game day ops at Georgia that they could make the experience a little bit more enjoyable. I think that some of that, whether it's playing music that's come out in the last 10 years, Georgia comes out to Bob O'Reilly by the Who for every game, which is fine with me. It's a tradition, but I don't know how much fans are getting fired up. College students are getting fired up to hear the Who. I think it's kind of stuff like that, and I get Kirby being frustrated. And I think in part too, it can be a challenge to this week where Kirby knows, Georgia's a big favorite. It would be very easy for these fans to kind of go through the motions. Kirby offered them a challenge, and we'll see if they're willing to accept it.
Yeah, here at State, for years they've come out to For Whom the Bell Tolls, and they changed it this year to Money for Nothing. And I get it. I get what you're saying there about, like, is this really the song that they want to get the crowd fired up? I get that point. We're not that different after all, even though, we're separated by all this space, Jordan.
Yeah, glad to hear it.
What's been the biggest surprise? Who has been the biggest surprise for the Bulldogs thus far? Who's a player that you didn't have a lot of expectations for? And has performed at a high level thus far.
I'll give you two guys and one on each side of the ball. On offense, Lawson Lucky, who's a tight end, sophomore, a guy that drew a lot of buzz last year during his first spring. He hurts his ankle. He doesn't really factor into Georgia's plans. I think he catches two passes in total. And he's been Georgia's best pass catcher as a tight end. And we know how much Georgia loves using the tight ends in the passing game. He's been huge. He had a big catch against Auburn. We talked to him on Tuesday night, and you could tell he's feeling confident. He basically said that he feels like he's earned Mike Bobo's trust as part of this offense. And I think that's huge. And I think he's a guy they got to continue taking advantage of. He may not be their best blocking tight end. I would still give that to Oscar Delp, who's the older guy between the two. But Lawson Lucky's really impressed. And then on the other side of the ball, I would say Ty Ingram Dawkins, defensive end, a guy that we continued to hear good things about him the last probably 2 years. But over and over again, he's dealt with injury. It felt like he had a foot injury that probably lingered for about 2 seasons. And you kind of wondered, all right, is this guy ever going to click? Is this ever going to work out for him? And he's been healthy this year. He's been great. He had two sacks on Peyton Thorne in that Auburn game and in like the first 12 minutes of the game. And he's been huge for Georgia's defensive line, especially because Mykael Williams is not quite 100% still working back from that ankle injury he suffered in the Clemson game. So Ty Ingram Dawkins has been really good. Just a shout out to another guy. Dan Jackson, a former walk-on, has been a starting safety and has been outstanding. He's tied for the team lead in tackles. A guy that none of us really, hyped up when he said, "Yeah, I'm coming back when I use my super senior year." He's done a great job alongside Malachi Starks in the back end of that secondary, Dan Jackson. And he blocked a field goal in that Auburn game. He's done a very good job, as part of this Georgia defense.
2 weeks ago, Mississippi State played Texas and, lost 35-13, but they were a 38-point underdog in that game. They had some moments in there that the game was relatively close going into the fourth quarter. And Mississippi State fans, trying to find positives in the season, took some from that performance and said, hey, they were better this week and they played a little bit better. Can State hang with Georgia the way they did with Texas 2 weeks ago? Is it possible for the final score of this game to be something like, I don't know, 35-14, and you walk away saying, okay, State's getting better, a little bit better each and every week?
I think so, and I think the onus is on Mississippi State's defense because it seems like if a team can slow down Georgia, particularly in that first quarter, you can kind of tell that Georgia spends like that next quarter trying to figure out what exactly is going wrong, what do we need to do differently. That would be my key. I can see. I'm sure it's going to be a very tough situation for Michael Van Buren trying to go out there. Again, we'll see what the crowd sounds like. But to me, if this game is going to be respectable from the Mississippi State side, that Bulldogs defense has to get stops, has to stop Trevor Etienne in this run game, has to make Carson Beck face third mediums, third and longs, because that's been one of the biggest weaknesses going back to these slow starts for Georgia, is that they've had third and mediums, third and longs, and not all that many third and shorts. Kind of changed a little bit in that Auburn game, and as a result, Georgia converted 50% of its third down. So I would say if this game is respectable, and if Mississippi State fans come out of it saying, okay, you know, we performed pretty well given the circumstances, I say it's got to be the Mississippi State defense that shows up, frustrates Georgia, especially early in the game.
We shall see how that all pans out. Jordan Hill, Dogs 24/7, man. Always appreciate your time. Thanks so much.
Absolutely.
Robbie, do you agree with the thing I said at the beginning there that I don't think we've seen the best version of Georgia this year? Have you? Do you think we've seen them?
No, not at all. They haven't been particularly sharp. I guess, you know, Georgia, the best version of Georgia or something similar to it is probably what we saw in the second half against Alabama.
Mm-hmm.
But they haven't been that, you know, killer just yet, which this is probably not a good time for Mississippi State to be on the schedule against Georgia whenever you really look at what they got coming up. And, you know, that I imagine that switch is about to flip for them and they start to say, oh, shoot, we can't lose anymore. This is probably not the time you want to play them.
Mm-hmm.
So – I don't know if I feel like we have not. I mean, maybe the Clemson game mm-hmm. was some of the best we've seen of them, but I feel like we haven't seen it. But you know, maybe if they continue to have their ups and downs, maybe that's just them. I don't know, but I certainly think that they can play better.
Hope, like I said, hopefully that's not the case this weekend at Mississippi State. It's tough to say these things, and you know, but it's the truth. If they just play like they played against Texas, I think Mississippi State fans walk away as satisfied as you can be in that situation. If the final score is something like 34, 35 to 10, 13, 14, something like that, I think you just take that and move on.
Yeah, for sure. I think people would certainly take that today.
Yeah.
I don't know, like I said, what we're going to see from Georgia. It's obviously not a great matchup, and I don't mean that just because it's, you know, number five versus a 1-4 state team, but it's right. Just the what they do is not good for Mississippi State.
Yeah.
You know, the things that they do well, the
right.
things that they hang their hat on, it's not good for state.
Yeah.
So, you know, we'll see what happens.
Yeah. All right, guys. We will be back with you tomorrow for the three Ps for preview, playmaker, and predictions for Mississippi State versus Georgia. Have a good Thursday. Back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.